Chevy Equinox with forward collision alert, automatic emergency braking, and available all-wheel drive. It's my ultimate mobile device. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com to schedule a test drive. Chevy Equinox. It's your choice. Own it.
Good morning. Come on in. You're just in time. Take a seat.
Yes, good morning, Mr. Rule. Sir, I have a problem with my boiler.
How about some coffee? Cream, sugar?
What is the best backup generator made today?
Blueberry scone, perhaps?
When you turn on the hot water, it whistles like a train.
Get comfy, because Lou Casa, tu casa. And he's taking your questions till 10. Right here on the Mr. Fix-It Show with Lou Manfredini on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Now, for those of you that normally listen to WGN, I wonder how you're feeling when this music comes on in your house. Kind of gets me going. Hi, everybody. Lou Manfredini, the Mr. Fix-It Show, 710 in the morning. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. This hour of the Mr. Fix-It Show is sponsored by Fox Home Center, by Touch and Foam Professional Spray Foam Insulation, and by ChevyDrivesChicago.com. Hello, Veronica.
Good morning, and I like that music.
I do. I do, too.
Makes me feel energetic.
Well, and you wouldn't get there so early that you need anything you can get to.
That is the most accurate statement you have made in a while.
Thank you. Very nice.
Susan Burkus sent me a note saying she'd be in early today. And I said, that's all right. I'll be just as comatose as 8 a.m. as I am at 10 o'clock when I normally see you.
I can't remember now. You're really not interested in baseball, so you obviously didn't stay up to watch any of that game.
You know, I used to be a baseball
California girl,
fanatic.
So were you
Oakland A's. Yep.
Oakland A's, okay.
I was, during the height of their, you know, the Bash Brothers, Mark McGwire and Jose Canseco, or Canstinko,
oh, wow,
as we called him.
Right, going back to McGwire when he was with the A's. Wow.
I was a little obsessed. Just, you know, planned my life around games. And I'm too darn busy now.
Did you have a favorite player, like you had a picture of him in your room?
Dennis Eckersley.
The mustache.
Mustache.
Loved the man. True story. Sam, you'll appreciate this. My sister and I were both huge Dennis Eckersley fans and always wanted to see him, you know, save the game. Always.
Right.
Always. Well, the one time that we had the chance, it was one of those, my son was like a newborn and we had him with us and the A's were losing and we're just like, you know what, let's just get out of here early before traffic. Yeah. By the time we loaded the kid in the stroller, got out to the car and turned it on, things had turned around. Eckersley was up. We missed it.
Oh, it's the worst. That's why I never leave a game early. Ever.
I shouldn't have.
I don't. And because that's happened to me as well. Yeah, my wife is a huge Cubs fan. I mean, she is a crazy, loves the Cubs. And when she was growing up, it was Dave Kingman, who was a famous hitter at the time. And she, you know, just absolutely loved him and still does today. So she is riding this wave, absolutely loves it.
Do you guys remember Dave Henderson, by the way? Big smile, always. He was an Oakland A's player.
Dave,
you'd remember
Henderson
him just because of the smile. He was always outfield smiling. Loved
really?
That man, too.
Well, we're smiling today because of the Cubs, because it was a fun game last night. And to watch it unfold, and, you know, that's a tense moment for all the teams. I mean, Sam, you stayed there for some of it, and the place looked packed. It was just fun. God, it was fun.
Murphy's
it's always
bleachers,
fun. It's fun to win.
It's funny. I talked to Beth Murphy yesterday about 3:30. She said they opened the bar at 9 a.m. and people started filing in at 10 in the morning.
I bet.
To get ready for a Friday night game at 8:15.
Yeah.
Amazing. Unbelievable. That's where I'm going after this.
To Murphy's?
Mm-hmm.
you're getting started for tomorrow night? You know, they're not playing tonight.
No, they are playing tonight.
Yeah, I thought they were.
Oh, wait. What's
7:08?
Oh, yeah, what am I saying? Tonight. Sunday, right. Right, Sunday they're not playing. Excuse me. Back to back. That's right. I knew that.
And for the
stay
record,
with me.
I didn't like the intro music, but I do like when Lindsay goes, good morning. That's my favorite part.
That is good. Real quick, I want to, before we get to your calls, I have stayed out of this fray for the most part as it comes to the presidential stuff, and I probably will stick my foot right in it here right now. But I want all of you listening to absolutely go and vote. And I want you to vote for who you think is the best person. And I'm specifically talking about the presidential race, but we have a lot of other races that are happening right now, too. And I think that, I talk a lot about it. We have two of our children who are able to vote, and I talk to them a lot about how important it is for us to all be part of this process. That, in my opinion, it's always been that if you do not vote and you're not part of the process, then you're not really qualified to complain or to comment or to, pass judgment on decisions that are made by our elected officials. We have a lot of problems with these people. I mean, it really is. It's concerning to me as an adult to look and see where we have gone. The name calling, the lack of working together, the just nothing getting done, and the finger pointing back and forth. You know, they didn't do this. You know, and we're this two-party system, which I really pray that eventually we'll have a viable candidate in the third party that really kind of shakes things up. Now, in my opinion, even when we do that, that third party will probably be just as crooked as the two that we have, crooked in the sense that, you know, they get so worried about working just specifically with their party that we don't get anything done. I think that at the end of the day, whomever is president, and this bodes for the current president we have now, I think at the end of the day, the president's job, while they have many responsibilities, and why you would want that job, I have no idea, but is to bring people together, okay? And so politics and running a country is not like running a business, because there's parts of it that just don't make sense or go to the bottom line because we have so many people that are in that need help. But at the end of the day, that person should be someone that can get two people in a room and or a group of people in a room and try and come up with compromise. Now, in my personal opinion, nobody we have right now running for president is going to be able to do that. I really do feel like we're going to have a wasted 4 years when you really kind of look at how everybody digs in. But what I do want you to consider, and again, I want you to vote for who you want to vote for, but words do matter. And in light of the recent stuff, and this is not an indictment specifically on Donald Trump, I guess some of you will say it is, but I have two daughters, and I've participated in quote-unquote locker room talk, but never, ever have I said anything like that ever in my life. If I were to say anything like that, I'd get fired in a second. And I think if you think about it, if your bosses ever heard you say anything like that, in whatever job you're at, you'd get fired too. I think that as a leader, whoever you are, words matter. They do. In life and in business and in politics, words matter. Go vote. Vote for who you think is going to be the best person to lead. But my opinion is that always remember that words do matter, and I've always been a believer. I give presentations about this all the time. You are who you are, and I think if you're going to walk the walk in your professional life, you have to walk your walk in your personal life, and those two things are always connected. And I am not a believer in that you can be one person. Oh, that doesn't matter because that's, you know, whatever. And this holds true for both candidates. This is not a pass for anyone. You are who you are. And our choices are tough. There's no question. But it starts with, on November 8th, going out there to vote and cast your vote. And so if you're not registered or you're thinking about taking this pass, I'm just going to pass because it doesn't really matter. It does. Every single vote that gets cast matters. And we all have to participate in the process. And so I just want to encourage you all to really look deep inside and know that people, as we live our lives, are who we are, and go out there and vote. All right, now we'll get to the Mr. Fix-It Show. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. We'll take a quick break, and then when we come back, I'll get to your phone calls. Don't go away.
Now back to Lou Manfredini and the Mr. Fix-It Show, answering your questions since 1995 on 720 WGN.
He was a famous trumpet man from all Chicago.
I love that we have the app voiceover lady doing a redraft. It makes me so happy. Hi, everybody. 722 in the morning. Lou Manfredini, the Mr. Fix-It Show. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Here till 10 o'clock. Tom is on the line, and he's in Wakanda. Hey, Tom, you're on WGN.
Good morning, Lou. I have a question regarding my water heaters. I have
heaters?
Yes.
You have two of them.
I have two of them. They're 75 gallon. They're both 20 years old, and I'm interested in switching over to tankless water heaters.
You have two 75 gallon water heaters.
Yes.
How come? What do you? You got like multiple jacuzzi tubs?
I have one jacuzzi tub. Yes.
Wow. Okay. And how often do you use it?
Not very often.
Yeah, that's the problem with those darn jacuzzi tubs. Everybody thinks they're such a great idea when you put them in. And you, when you first put them in, it's the greatest thing ever. And then all you do is it holds stuff. yeah. Okay, how many in the house now?
I have four kids, and they're about to go off to college.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. All right. I love the on-demand water heaters. I've been using one in our own home now for, it's got to be close to 10 years. There is a little bit of a learning curve as far as how you use them because you wait a little bit longer to get the water to you, but then once you get it, it's there and there's no problem whatsoever. One of the products to look into, a manufacturer is called Navion. Navion, you can get out of plumbing supply houses. They come in different capacities as far as the amount of water you need to do. But essentially, they're rated by number of fixtures at the same time. So with a family of four or, you know, wanting to do multiple fixtures at once, you're going to want to buy a unit that will do at least four fixtures at once. And so those units, you know, the thing is that with two water heaters – if you were going to hire a plumber to come and just replace what you have, I mean, you'd probably spend in the neighborhood of, you know, $3 to $3,500 to get that all done, maybe even $4,000. You'll do one on-demand water heater for less than that, and you'll never run out of hot water.
Okay.
So the trick is with these Navions, what's nice about them is a lot of times the older technology – you had to upgrade the gas meter. I assume you have natural gas.
I do.
Yeah, so you'd have to upgrade the gas meter to a bigger size, and you had to bring a bigger pipe. But these Navions work off of a 3/4-inch gas pipe, so there's really no issue. The only thing is you have to do some venting, typically cut in a side vent for the exhaust and a makeup air vent for intake that gets piped into the unit. But other than that, you know, your local supply house, do you have a plumber that you work with?
Yes, I do.
Okay. So talk to them about the Navion that they'll get out of the supply house. And, you know, if he or she has never done it before or tries to talk you out of it, don't let them do it. It's proven technology. It's not the reason so many plumbers, kind of poo-poo this whole thing is that they just don't understand it. You know, they don't do it enough, and they'd rather just put in what they know and go with it. You're in and out. I know how to do the tank water heater, blah blah blah, and I'm done. But with these, there's a little bit more work, setting it up initially. But it's really terrific. You're gonna love it. Thanks so much for the phone call. Daryl is on in Fort Wayne. Hey, Daryl, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it.
Yeah, how can I help you?
Last night I got a text while I was at the Cub game that there was an emergency at home, and my wife
was that just to distract you or to make you feel bad?
No, I tell you what, I was shocked. I mean, an emergency. I thought the house was burning down or something.
Oh gosh! All right.
So I want to know if this is an emergency. And I can fix it, or I can call a plumber, because I hate plumbing. I get raining with plumbing. So She said that the water was leaking from the washing machine all over the basement floor. And the sink, you know, there's a laundry sink, whatever you call it, laundry tub, whatever you call it, was also filling up with water. And we have a full bathroom in the basement. So I asked her to run the water in the sink in that bathroom and flush the toilet. And she said there was no water filling up there, but it was all clogged, but the water was stayed clogged in that tub. And, you know, I asked, and she turned off the washing machine. So I'm wondering if you have any idea what this might be, and if I can fix it or I got to call my overpriced plumber.
Well, if you have a full basement in there, my guess is you have an ejector pit, and it could be that your ejector pit either got unplugged or the pump has failed. You know where that pump is down in the basement?
What old is your ejector pit? You mean like a sump pump?
Like a sump pump.
Yeah, no, there's no sump pump.
There's no sump pump. You have a basement bathroom.
Yeah.
How old is your house?
It's old. It's like 1930s.
Oh, okay. So there's no sump pump, no ejector pit. There's nothing in the floor.
No.
Sticking out like that. Okay. All right. So it's just gravity fed. Well, then if it's the washing machine leaking could be a different story. You sure the leak's not coming from the sink and it just went over to the washing machine? We don't know.
No, I don't know. She was panicking.
Okay, now let me ask you this. Don't get yourself in trouble. The wash tub that you have, is it an old concrete one or one of these newer plastic ones?
It's a newer plastic one.
Okay, and is it still holding water? Have you seen it yet or no?
No, I'm still coming back from the Cubs game.
Okay. All right.
I could barely make it to my car last night.
All right. Good job.
Hunkered down. Yeah.
There you go. That got smart. I'm glad you didn't drive. Okay. If it's still holding water, then what I want you to do is take a small plunger and go over the top of the drain. And you're gonna have to hold it right over the top so it seals. And try plunging it to see if that can clear the leak. My guess is that the leak was in the sink and it leaked over by the washing machine, which makes it look like it was leaking. Try seeing if you can clear that. If that clears it, then it just could be a buildup of lint and debris that got in there, and then you don't have to call the plumber. If that doesn't clear it and it's still holding water, then that line has to be rotted out, and that way you'll have to call the plumber. One of the people you could call Plumbers 911, which is a collection of some really good plumbers in the area that can give you another estimate for doing that work. Thanks so much for the phone call. Quick break, and then we'll get to news.
Now back to the Mr. Fix-It Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Love is a burning thing.
Love this. 7:39 in the morning. Hey, I'm going to be broadcasting live from Fox Home Center in Alsip next Saturday, October 15th, from 7 to 10 a.m. Come on out and join us. Enjoy live music as well as free breakfast and refreshments courtesy of Gravy in LaGrange. Plus, the first 300 attendees will get a goodie bag from Fox Home Center, and their partners will also be giving you a chance to win prizes throughout the show. Fox Home Center is located at 1150 South Cicero in Alsip with plenty of free parking. Visit WGNradio.com/events page for more details. It's always a fun broadcast. They do a terrific job out there, and we're looking forward to it. It should be a lot of fun. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Catherine is in Prospect Heights. Hi, Catherine. You're on WGN.
Hi. Hello, Lou. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
We had a problem. We moved into a townhouse. It's about almost 30 years old.
Okay.
And we put all new appliances. Everything was done new, brand new floor. We left the house, and when we came back, there was a half an inch of water on the brand new wooden floor. We cleaned it up, called this restoration company that came in and put these heating mats and dehumidifiers and fans, and we have a crawl space. They put them down there. When it was all done, the floor still looked kind of warped. The edges are up. And we were told that it could be sanded down. And then we were also told if we leave it when the heat goes on, it could settle itself. And I was just wondering, what is the right thing to do?
Mm-hmm. So you did saw what did the leak come from?
The dishwasher. It was a faulty, I think it was a faulty pump. They took the dishwasher out. We got a new dishwasher.
Okay.
But we still, they took off all the baseboards,
right,
the holes in the wall, everything. And we're sitting here now. They still haven't fixed it. But the floor still is not perfect. The edges
right.
are still up in certain areas.
Okay.
So what?
Here's what I'll tell you. Have them come back and put all the trim back and put it all back together. Call me in 3 months.
We should wait for 3 months to see
yeah,
if it settles itself.
It will settle itself back down. Whenever, and this is, you know, I don't, you know, you, when something like that happens, that kind of damage, you certainly want to get it all taken care of. But with hardwood flooring, it will curl up. And, you know, the keeping a fan over the top of it, is, you know, immediately is a good idea. But it will calm back down. And in particular, as we're going into the heating season,
mm-hmm.
The home's going to start to dry out a little bit. But, I mean, I bet you by Christmas, even you're going to hardly feel it at all. And then by Valentine's Day, it'll be perfectly fine.
So it will go down on itself.
It will go down on its own, and it's just a question of settling back down, you know, and getting all that moisture out. There might be a tiny little, you know, if you put your hand down there, you might feel it, but you won't see it once it's all done.
Uh-huh. So you won't be, it won't be necessary to have it sanded.
No. And actually, quite frankly, sanding it now while it's curled is a mistake because, you know, typically with a hardwood floor, when you go up, that's that tongue. And the groove portion in particular, the groove portion, which is a thin piece of the hardwood, the thinner part
mm-hmm.
of it. And when you sand that away, you compromise the top surface of the wood. You're actually really lessening the coverage on that. So I would not sand it at all. I mean, as long as the finish is
the finish
fine,
is good.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
that's fine. Just give it some time. How long ago did this happen?
This happened actually now. It's 5 weeks.
Yeah, that's fine.
You
don't need a fan or anything like that. Have them come back, finish all the trim, put it all back together so you're back together for the holidays. Call me at Christmas time and tell me Merry Christmas.
Oh, thank you.
Well, yeah, I mean, tell me Merry Christmas when you call. I mean,
I sure
nice.
Will. Thank you.
Thank you so much for your phone call. It's 7:44 in the morning. You're listening to the Mr. Fix-It Show on 720 WGN. We'll be right back. All right, it's 7:48 in the morning. It's time now for our Noodaloo 2, sponsored by ComEd. If you are a parent or a grandparent and you have a feisty eater, or should I say, a child that just won't eat, this Noodaloo 2 could quite possibly be the answer to your problems.
You chop their food into little pieces. You've had food flung at your head. You spend a good portion of your time wiping down floors, walls, cabinets. Are you A, the lead nutritionist at a zoo, or B, the parent of a toddler during mealtime? Assuming the answer is in fact B, then chin up, Buttercup. This week's Noodaloo 2 is something we found a while back, but put it on the back burner for whatever reason until now. Until I was so desperate to get my little 3-year-old to eat something, anything. Looking for answers, I came across the dinner winner. With the dinner winner, these Chicago marathon runners won't be the only ones racing to the finish line. The dinner winner is a melamine plate that divides food into 8 portions with an extra covered portion for dessert. Looks kind of like something you'd see on a Candyland board, and the goal is to get to the finish line where the dessert awaits. So this week I put a few Jelly Bellies, my daughter's favorite candy, under that lid at the finish line, but no peeking until you eat everything on your plate. And I'm telling you, it's been working. She gets so excited when she finishes and she gets to unveil what's underneath the lid and has actually been asking me to eat her dinner on the game plate, as she calls it. Now, I'm not going to hold my breath here because I'm not sure how long it's going to last, but fingers crossed that we have a winner. Pun intended. The dinner winner by Fred and Friends goes for varying prices online. Looks like the lowest I found so far is on Amazon for about $17. You can just Google Dinner Winner or check out their website, fredandfriends.com. I will, of course, put all this information also up on Lou's Mr. Fix-It page on WGNradio.com and also up on his Facebook page, complete with a little picture to show you what I'm talking about. That's this week's New to Lou 2.
So it's like the game of life.
Oh, of life. Okay. I said
right?
Candyland. I said, it's, you know, it's got the
trail. Oh, like
trail.
Candyland.
Yeah.
It's got like a little trail. Dishwasher safe?
Dishwasher safe.
And
BPA free or whatever that.
Right, right. And I think, did we both see this when we were at the house for sure? Did you pick on it as a young
I actually think you were the one that found it and you thought it was really cool, but it was kind of before I needed it. You know, Sadie's a pretty new eater, I would say. And
right.
And it's amazing.
I want an adult version. I mean, meaning that bigger, not like, you know, not
well,
like
I can
pictures.
Make you some Mickey Mouse pancakes if you want.
Right. So there's individual little squares. And are there messages underneath each square?
Yeah, they say like, you know, way to go. One more bite. You're doing great.
And the last one has a cover.
It has a little cover that is fun. Sadie loves the cover. She won't actually have given it to her without the cover. And she's, Mom, I need the lid.
Oh.
It's fun for her. And then, you know, you finish and you open the little thing at the end. And there's
right.
your dessert.
Right.
It kind of taunts you the whole time that
right.
you're eating. So it
and
makes
so
you
are you doing,
finish.
In other words, I know that with Sadie, it's like you can only get her to eat one or two things. But are you throwing in a piece of broccoli in one of the squares?
Oh, yeah. I do the peas and broccoli.
Right.
You know, and it makes her, you know. It's really not that much food. Just finish what's on your plate.
Easy. Don't let everybody see the real Lindsay. Okay, easy.
Ugh.
Wow, she's really tough. Wow.
It is really though. I mean, for anyone that has a child that is a picky eater, it's hard. It's
well,
frustrating
it definitely,
and
right. And what you said about you get to your wit's end, like you can't figure it out, right?
Right.
Oh my gosh, they won't eat, they won't
right.
eat.
How is
and
she
so,
growing?
Right. And if you're in particular at that, what can I try? Then for, you know, less than $20.
Right.
It's a plate that, you know, it's $20, but it might work.
And even
you
if it's
know.
Not, you know, for picky eaters, like I mention this or you mentioned it for grandparents, you know, every kid wants to come over to grandma's house.
Right.
It's just a
right.
fun little game to play.
Try the little chicken. What's it called? Winner, winner, dinner.
Dinner, winner.
Dinner, winner. Winner, winner, dinner. I like that
winner,
better.
Winner, 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 chicken dinner?
Chicken dinner.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner. Winner, winner, dinner. And you could do that and say, here's a little game for grandma, and here's $20. That's what we do. We give them money. We load them
right,
up.
Right, that's the dessert.
Right. What I would do is under the last one would yeah. be like a pile of sweet tarts. I mean, really, mm-hmm. that would be the way to go.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a little chicken nugget. Mm-hmm. Here's a piece of broccoli. Here's a
20.
You know, what?
Here's a 20.
Here's a 20. Get to the third one, you get the 20 from grandma, and then at the end, a huge pile of sweet tarts. What's not better than that?
I know.
I want one. A bigger version, though.
Okay,
like where I can put like a ribeye in one of them. All right, first is the ribeye, right? Then there's the baked potato. You know what I mean? That would be really good. Think about it. For the people like Mike Jakubowski, he likes to eat all of his food one thing at a time.
Huh.
Right.
That's interesting.
Yeah, are you one of those people?
I mix it all.
Sam?
Together.
Do you mix your food or do you eat it one at a time?
One at a time.
Really?
Usually, yeah.
So if you have if you go out to dinner and you have a steak and a baked potato and green beans, do you like green beans?
Yes.
You would eat one at a time.
Right. You'd like stack everything together in one fork and then swoop it all together? Is that what you do?
Oh, no. In other words, you wouldn't eat the steak, then the baked potato, then the green beans. You'd put them all together.
No, I thought you meant mix it in one bite. No, I'll go around the horn. I'll mix and match, but I don't do it all in one bite. Now, some people will put it all on fork.
No, mm-hmm. but like Mike will eat the steak, then he'll eat the potato.
Oh, he's a weirdo.
Mike Jakubowski, the weirdo.
Weirdo.
Yeah, well.
Sorry, Mike.
Yeah,
we
he's
love
listening.
You.
He's listening. And he owns a gun. No.
I'll be back next week.
Actually, he owns several. But anyway, but it's that's always so funny to me. And then I know people who don't like the food to touch each other.
It's all going to the same place.
Right,
well, with a dinner winner, it wouldn't.
That's what I mean. That's why you need the adult version.
Well, I'm going to work with this company and maybe make you one for Christmas.
There you go. I'd love it. And you could have fun little...
You're a big
guy. Could have fun... It could be like historical things. Like they could change the messaging. Like a pop-in... I don't know. I love it. Go to WGNradio.com. Yes. You can see it. You can also go to our Facebook page. Are we doing the little thing that we do?
The thing.
Who wants to sign up?
Well, this one's been used, so I don't know if they want this one.
If you'd like a used chicken dinner, what's the website?
It's fredandfriends.com. I'll put it all up on WGN.radio.com and also Facebook. Your Facebook
Great
page.
Idea. Great idea. 7:56 in the morning. Quick break, and we'll be right back.
This is Ellie in Skokie. Ellie, you're on WGN. Good morning.
You're listening to the Mr. Fix-It Show.
I've got a lot of questions. Eventually, we're going to sell the house. Not while my husband is still here, because he'll stay here forever. He won't empty out the basement.
With Lou Manfredini.
But I'm planning ahead.
Wait, are you listening to what you just said?
On Chicago's very own.
Right. Okay. I mean, in the world.
720 WGN.
She can say in her voice, in her way, that she loves me.
8:09 in the morning. Hi, everybody. Beautiful day. Oh, beautiful fall day. This hour of the Mr. Fix-It Show is sponsored by... Where am I here? Oh, yeah. Permaseal Basement Systems, Lou Hair Video, and sponsored by wetandforget.com. I got people staring at my hair all the time. Go right ahead and stare. Even my wife is amazed. Let me tell you, when you can impress your wife, that's something. Dr. Yates did a fine job. It's growing. I'm happy.
Didn't you have a haircut this weekend? What did Megan think?
Oh, my gosh. Megan was like, it really is working. She goes, we may have to thin it out.
Wow.
I go, I doubt it. But it was fun. It is fun. I mean, it is amazing. It is amazing. And did you see the story, by the way? I sent you the story about Joe Buck.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Joe Buck, as many of you know, he'll be calling a bunch of the he's the NFL voice for Fox, and he also does baseball, fine broadcaster. And I guess he's got some memoir where he was addicted, which is hilarious, to hair transplants. Isn't that something?
That is interesting.
He had like either 4 or 5 procedures, and one of the procedures, I'm not sure how this happens, somehow affected his vocal cord. Which I don't get how that works. I'm speaking just fine. And he couldn't work for a while. And, you know, he was telling, oh, I have a virus. And it was something to do with his hair transplant. And I was looking at him. I mean, his hair looks pretty good.
He said it almost cost him his career.
Right. You read that story, right?
Yeah.
And I didn't get the details, but they didn't really... I guess it must be in the memoir, right? They're just doing the highlights of the memoir. But anyway, it's... It's amazing.
In 2011, Buck underwent his 8th hair replacement procedure, but something went wrong during the 6-hour procedure. He woke up from the anesthetic and he could not speak.
Wow.
They believe that he paralyzed his vocal cords. So don't go 8 times, Lou. Just go 7 times. You'll
no,
be
no,
fine.
No. I think I'm good. I'm good right now.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, I'm so far so good. If you want to learn more about my procedure, and actually what a lot of people don't know in the video, I actually sing a little Ave Maria. That's way towards the end. It's not true. None of that is true. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Lou Manfredini here. Let's talk to Carol in Elk Grove Village. Hi, Carol. You're on WGN.
Hi, Lou. This is Carol. My problem is with my wash machine and the main sewer line. My wash machine empties into a pipe that goes down through the crawl space into the sewer. And after each load is finished washing and emptying, my kitchen sink gurgles, makes this gurgling noise. And what's that all about?
Well... It probably has something to do with the drain line. So does your washing machine, you said, drain into a tub?
No, it doesn't. It goes into a pipe.
Okay, so that pipe beyond the and you don't see the pipe, right? Is it like a box in a wall?
No, it's a pipe standing right behind the machine.
Okay, so you see the pipe, and then you see the little P trap, like the little J bend at the bottom.
No, that's down in the crawl space. I can't see it, but it's there.
That line is clogged, and it needs to be rotted out. And then what's happening is because when the washing machine, you know, evacuates the water, it's under pressure because it's got a pump. And when it's pumping, it's draining. But because it's not draining fast enough, you're getting that gurgling. It's pressure. It's putting pressure up through the vent, which is causing your sink to gurgle. You're not getting any water up in the sink, right?
Right.
Okay. You're in Elk Grove Village?
Yes.
And do you have a plumber that you work with?
Not really.
Okay. PermaSeal has plumbing services, licensed plumbers working for them. They do very nice work, and you could call them. They could come out and rod this thing out for you. And 800-421-SEAL is their phone number, and then they could take care of it and make sure that it's running clean. Another plumber is we have the Plumbers 911, which is another group of fine plumbers that you could call to come out and solve this problem for you. Thanks so much for the phone call. Let's go to Jess in Homewood. Jess, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou. How are you?
I'm terrific. What's going on?
Okay, so a few months ago, we got a new air conditioner, a new furnace.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. it does vent. It does vent out of our chimney. Our chimney is only used for, we don't have an actual burning wood chimney, I should say.
Okay.
And the company that installed the air conditioner and furnace said that we definitely needed a new chimney liner. And so I went and got a quote from a different company, and the quote came back very, very high, actually three times the price that the guy estimated he thought it would cost.
Wait. So the heating, the people that did the heating and cooling said you need a new chimney liner.
But they never looked at our chimney. But they said it's definitely a thing, otherwise you're going to basically kill yourself.
Or basically what? Wait, what did you say?
He basically said, like, we're going to suffer from carbon monoxide poisoning
okay.
if we don't.
So, wait. How old is your home?
52.
All right, so you
52.
So you don't have a chimney liner. He said you need a chimney liner.
Right, we have the old clay tile.
Correct. Okay, so I'm going to stop you there.
Yes.
Anybody that has a masonry chimney with a clay liner and you're upgrading to a new traditionally vented furnace, anyone listening, you need a liner.
Okay.
And if I was that heating and air conditioning person, I wouldn't have even put that furnace in.
Really?
No, because the liability of it is the carbon monoxide's not the problem. That I'm not worried about that. It's
okay.
That your new furnace is so much more efficient than your old one that when the weather starts to get really cold, okay, and that thing's cranking, it doesn't evacuate enough hot air for the air to draft all the way out. Okay. And what happens is it gets to the very top and the barometric pressure, I sound like Tom Skilling now, is pushing down on top of that, and it won't allow that hot, moist air to evacuate out the chimney. And so what happens is it starts to roll at the top, and the moisture gets absorbed into the brick. And then 2 years from now, you're pulling into the driveway going, hey, honey, how come the brick on that chimney is all spalling and it's like white and flaky? What's going on? And now you have to tuck point the whole chimney, and it's going to cost you $5,000.
Now, just a little side note here. I did have our chimney rebuilt earlier this year before the new air conditioner and furnace.
Okay.
And the tuck point, I did just call the tuck pointer just out of curiosity after I got this really large bill for a possible liner. And I asked him, I said, do you think we need a new chimney liner? He goes, no, I just rebuilt your entire chimney. It's fine.
No, I disagree.
These
are two separate issues here. It is I get that he rebuilt it, but he rebuilt it with a clay liner.
Got it.
And so the problem is this, that clay liner, because it is it's a thick, porous material. Well, it's not, it's, well, it is porous, but it absorbs the heat. You know, it's like, it, do you ever make frozen pizza in the, you ever make frozen pizza in the oven?
Yep. I had one last night.
Do you have one of those pizza stones?
Yes.
Okay, so you know how you put the pizza on the stone and it makes the pizza all crispy? That's what your clay liner is. It's like that pizza stone. And so as the heat goes in there, it absorbs that. And so as it absorbs it, in particular, as it comes right into the in the basement, all that hot air right there, that clay chimney is absorbing, absorbing, absorbing. Then when it gets to the very top, it's like this faint little, you know, not very hot stuff, and it can't get out.
Got it. Okay, well,
who did you, did you call Lindholm on the chimney liner?
I did not.
Okay. So here's the thing. I know they're a sponsor, and I know that you hear my voice read their ads, but these guys are the best when it comes to the chimney. They can come with a little camera, throw it up there and say, hey, this is what you got. This is what we got to do. And they can pop that liner in there. This is, I know you don't want to spend the money, but you're either going to spend, hopefully you get a better price than what you, you know, you the first bid you got. But if you don't do this, you're going to spend even more down the line when that starts to roll up there and you got to rebuild the top of that chimney. You're going to be like, oh my gosh, I just paid for all this. Why am I paying for this again? This is crazy. So give Lindholm a call. Lindsay, Lindholm, 866. No, 720. I want him to change the phone number. Why don't I know the number off the top of my head? We'll give it to you. LindholmRoofing.com, and keep hanging on. I'll give you the phone number. 8:19 in the morning.
Oh, Lou wait, Manfred, I have it.
Go ahead.
Oh, wait, where is it? 888-4-ROOFER.
No.
Yeah.
No, that's not Lindholm.
Yes,
that's
it
not
is.
Lindholm.
Yes, it is.
Oh, now I, okay, what am I saying, Lindholm?
Are you, what?
Lindemann. Have I been saying Lindholm?
Yes. Oh, my God.
I need another cup of coffee. Lindemann. Oh, my God. Lindemann Chimney.
I'm in here talking
Lindholm
to Sam.
Roofing is,
yeah,
Lindholm sorry. Roofing is fantastic. They do great job on your roof, but they're not going to rebuild your chimney. Lindemann. Oh, my gosh. That's it. I guess Lindemann's no longer a sponsor. They're like, can we get rid of Lou? Can we not sponsor Lou?
877-980-6280 is Lindemann Chimney.
Thank you very much.
Hello.
Take a quick break. With a well-oiled machine. We'll be right back.
Just a minute. I have to tell you, I went to Menards, and I got a hold of a guy in the paint section, and he said, oh, I listen to Lou Manfredini all the time. And don't get anything else because you won't be satisfied because Lou told you so.
Some nights I stay up, cashing in my bad luck.
8:24 in the morning.
Some nights I call it a draw.
The Mr. Fix-It Show.
Some nights I wish that my lips could build a castle.
On 720 WGN. 312-981-7200 is our phone number here till 10 o'clock this morning. Let's talk to Elaine in Marseilles. Hi, Elaine. You're on WGN.
Hey, Lou. Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it.
Sure. How
I'm
can I help you?
I'm having a problem with the house. It's a foreclosure, and I had a lot of problems with it. It took me 4 months to get in. I'm back and forth. I have a place in Seneca that I use for the summer, a campground, so I'm not in the house constantly yet. But okay. I do have a dehumidifier going because I felt humidity, and sure enough, it puts out over a gallon of water overnight. I don't know where it's coming from. There was moisture in the crawl space when I first got the house, and some people put in 17 ton of, I think it was river rock, I'm not sure. But supposedly it's not that damp down there anymore, or there's no moisture, I should say. I don't know where this humidity is coming from. Can you kind of give me a hint or who I should get? I know you talk about mold a lot.
Oh, yeah. Now tell me, where do you run the dehumidifier? What part of the house?
Well, I have to keep it on the kitchen counter for the hose drain. I have to do that.
Oh, so, I see.
Yeah, it's got a small pan, but I can't leave it for as long as I'm not here, you know, because it will overflow.
Okay. So, and the house, in the kitchen, go ahead.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. No, I keep it in the kitchen, and I got this little humidity gauge that I've been watching. It was way beyond the comfort zone, and it was just starting to go into the blue section where it says comfort zone. Mm-hmm. Well, yesterday when I was here for the day, I shut the thing off because it drives me crazy when it's on high. So in that time, the house filled up again. I put it back on. It was 65% humidity. Okay. Now, this morning, still 65%, so it runs constantly, and like I say, puts out over a gallon of water, you know, a day, actually.
All right. You're in the house right now.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And the house, you said, is built on a crawl space.
Right.
And do you have access to that crawl?
I've never been down there, but people have been down there, yes.
Okay. Well, my guess is your moisture issue is down in that crawl space, and you need to... You need to have that inspected to see if, in fact, it's holding water or there's a high water table that is inside that area, and that moisture is permeating up into the home. Mm-hmm. And that's affecting, you know, the quality of the air inside the home. And there's a couple ways to manage this. Depending on if it's a water table issue, a sump pump could be installed down there. You said a bunch of gravel's been put down, but did they
There is also... a sump pump down there. There is a sump pump down there. Before I bought the house, the real estate put a sump pump down there.
Okay, but is it working? Is it plugged in? Do you see water coming out of there?
I don't. Out of the hose? No, I don't.
Okay, so
I was when it rains a lot. Yeah, I do.
Right. So I mean, maybe there's an issue with it being unplugged, or maybe it's not in the right spot, or maybe you need to address having the area encapsulated. You said this is in Marseilles,
right? Mm-hmm.
How far south? How far out is that from Chicago?
Well, it's a town before Star Rock, Ottawa.
So it's a couple hours.
Well, from where you are, probably, yeah. It's straight out I-80.
Okay.
It's more. You got more Seneca, Marseilles, and Ottawa. Yeah.
I mean, this is an absolute job for PermaSeal, but I think you might be out of their area. What you want to try and look for is a basement waterproofing contractor that is affiliated with the Basement Systems Program. And their Basement Systems is a supplier for a lot of the technology and products that the PermaSeal folks use. And there are other contractors that are part of that system. Now, you could call PermaSeal and ask them for a recommendation. That probably would be the best way to go, 800-421-SEAL. But I think you need someone to address this. Because that moisture left unchecked is going to create a mildew and mold problem, and you're going to breathe all that air. And that is something you absolutely have to address. You can't just let it go. Hopefully, you know, in the foreclosure, you got some sort of benefit financially that you want to make sure you're spending the money correctly to preserve the investment that you made. Thanks so much for the phone call. 8:30 in the morning. Get ready to battle Mother Nature's worst this fall by using polyurethane spray foam insulation technology in addition to traditional batted insulation. Try Touch and Foam Professional Spray Foam Insulation Kits, now available at the Home Depot. Touch and Foam not only insulates your home, it air seals, locking out drafts, moisture, and pests that traditional insulations can't do alone. And it can help save up to 30% on energy costs. Each kit is portable, comes pre-assembled with extras including safety glasses, gloves, instructions, how-to DVD, extra nozzles. Touch and Foam is easy to apply and dries in 60 seconds, making quick work of your installation project. Use spray foam in rim joists, wall cavities, along with sill plates around attic penetrations. Touch and Foam professional kits, now available at your local Home Depot. Save on energy costs, stop drafts and pests. Seal your home with Touch and Foam today. All right, it's time now for WGN Radio News. When we come back, I did something yesterday. Lindsay, you know this. My wife doesn't know that I did this. Did you know that? I didn't tell her.
Oh.
I didn't tell her. Hmm. I spent an hour, and I took time just for myself. And if you're a man listening, I mean women too, but this is a man's world that we're going to talk about. Coming up after 8:30, if you love cars... Like I love cars, and you want something to do today, and you can travel to Schaumburg, I'm going to talk to the president of a company that's running an absolute awesome awesome event that all I'm going to say is it's QVC for men. Right? ...8:38 in the morning, the Mr. Fix-It Show on 720 WGN. You know, if I was not Mr. Fix-It for your house, I would be Mr. Fix-It for your car. I know many of you know that my father was a mechanic, owned a Texaco station, was a truck mechanic. I grew up working on cars, and I love cars. I mean, I threaten my wife all the time with either running for mayor, which she won't let me do with my second wife, or I want to own a car dealership because I want to sell cars. But what I really like is classic cars. And so my friend Bill Conforti of Cobblestone Development a while ago gave me a subscription to this magazine, like Hemmings Motor Works magazine or something like that, that I get. And, you know, it's got these classic cars and stories about these classic cars. And I'm lying in bed one night, you know, reading, and I see this full page ad about this this Mecum Auctions that's coming to the Schaumburg Convention Center. And it's, you know, says the date. And I'm going, wow, that's, well, I should go to that. You know, I've never been to one of these auctions. And I said to Lindsay, I go, we should get these people because I want to talk about this and I want to learn more about this because I've always been intrigued. I was in a hotel room traveling somewhere and I came back in the middle of the day before I had to go to an evening appointment and I flipped on the TV to watch the news and I landed on one of these auctions. Now, it happened to be a competitor to Mecum, but all of a sudden I found myself watching the cars being pushed onto the thing and the guy's going, oh, no, 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 who's at 23? And I was intrigued by all the different cars coming up. And while I'm watching the thing on TV, I could have bought six of them and I would have been divorced, but I would have had these six awesome cars. So anyway, I called out there. They were kind enough to let me come tour it. Now, we only spent about an hour there. Joining us on the phone lines right now is Dave Majors. He's the CEO of Mecum Auctions. Their final day of the auction out at the Renaissance Schaumburg Convention Center is today. And you guys have over 1,000 collector cars, all kinds of American muscle guys. And I think it's your head of PR who said to me, and I use the line in setting this up, it's like QVC for men.
Yeah, good morning.
How are you?
Home day at Mecum Auctions with 400 beautiful collector cars about to cross the block.
Thank you, by the way, for joining us. And you people, if they want to attend, today is the last day, but you can walk up and buy a ticket and go see what's happening, right?
Oh, you bet. And because this is kind of a home game for us, our offices are in Lake Geneva, Wisconsin. And I actually live downtown Chicago.
Oh, nice.
And I'm quite a Blackhawks fan, so this is Blackhawks event. So yesterday was Blackhawks Day,
nice.
But for all 3 days of the event here, if you wear anything Blackhawks to Mecum Auctions, you can buy a ticket for half price or you can register to bid for half price.
Wow. All right, take me through. Go ahead.
I told one of my friends, yesterday might have been the best day of my life. Because I was at a collector car auction with 400 beautiful cars. It was Blackhawks Day, so I had John McDonough and Jake
Nice.
Here all day. And then the Cubs game at night. So I don't know how it gets any better for a guy like me from Chicago.
That's awesome. Yeah, it was a good night last night, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I was kind enough to get a little tour of the whole thing and kind of get some insight into how this all works. And your company also has a partnership with NBCSN where the auction is being broadcast live while it goes on, correct?
You bet. We'll do 14 collector car events across the country this year, four antique tractor events, four antique motorcycle events. And all of our collector car auctions and one of our motorcycle auctions, the world's largest collector motorcycle auction, are carried live on NBC Sports.
One of the things that I was impressed by, I got a chance to walk around outside the convention center. You guys have set up these tents where the cars that will then be brought onto the stage are being prepped. And anybody that's interested in perhaps bidding on something like this, has the ability to look at the car, to sit in the car. I was told that if one of your employees are there, you can even start the car. You know, you can request that to happen so that you really get an idea of what it is you're bidding on as it comes across that stage.
Yeah, we encourage everybody to, you know, to go over the car thoroughly before, you know, before bidding on, to make sure that it's exactly what they were looking for. And, you know, all these are all old cars, 50, 60-year-old cars. And so, you know, it's good to go over the mechanics and make sure that you're comfortable with everything.
While I was there yesterday around noon, I walked into the area where you have the auction, and it really is impressive. There's all these people kind of sitting up front who are the people bidding, and then there's like a gallery where you can sit back and kind of take it all in. There was a teal blue International Harvester Scout that came across the stage, and it was beautiful. And I was looking at it from a distance, and I'm pretty sure, you know, it was probably a 1960s era vehicle that probably brand new when it was built, you know, probably sold for, you know, $2,500,
yep,
you know, or something like that. And it sold for $32,000. I mean, talk about, you know, and I've always argued with my wife about this. I go, you know, this, honey, this is an investment. You go buy a brand new car today for $50,000, and a year from now, it's not worth $50,000.
Yeah. Well, I don't
right?
think there's anything hotter right now than the Scouts and the Broncos and the Toyota FJs. They just seem to be really climbing. And you're exactly right. What's great about the collector car market is you can buy something for, like you said, $30,000 and drive it, enjoy it, have fun for 3 years, bring it back and sell it, and, you know, probably sell it for more than you paid for it. Now,
right.
That doesn't happen very often with the car you drive off, you know, off
right.
lot brand new.
Right. I thought it was interesting. Your Mecum Auto Group has been around for, is it 30 years?
We've been around since 1988, so 28. This is the 28th year for Mecum Auto.
Wow.
Started in Rockford, Illinois.
And you do, you said, 14 events all across the country. You're constantly moving people around. And are you seeing this whole genre, like, growing? I mean, I was impressed when I went there at noon to see the amount of people that were walking around that place.
Well, we continue to see growth, and we continue to see a lot of interest in primarily our bread and butter, which is the 50s, 60s, 70s American muscle car market. And it's just been red hot for the last 2 or 3 years. And, you know, television gets a lot of exposure for collector cars and generates
sure.
a lot of interest. And you know, we are the largest collector car auction company by volume. We'll take about 15,000 cars to auction this year over those 14 events. But the thing about a Mecum collector car auction is it's not just an auction for buyers and sellers. We will probably have close to 20,000 people through the gates over the 3 days that we've been here in Chicago. And of those 20,000, maybe 1,000 of them are actual buyers and sellers with bidder badges and seller badges on. The rest of them are just people that came to, you know, bring the family, bring the kids.
Right.
Talk a little bit about history and talk about your past and see some really, really cool cars.
Well, and you have this whole other thing that I thought was impressive, this road art that I thought
yeah.
was really neat. Tell the listeners about that.
Well, road art is really starting to gain in popularity. Road art, and that's a term that we coined, that we have trademarked, but it's old neon signs, old road signs, gas pumps, pedal cars. I always say it's everything automotive that doesn't have an engine and four wheels. And we will start every day at the auction with close to 100-150 pieces of road art to get the auction going in the morning before we actually get into the cars.
Wow.
And then we have a 2 weeks from Thursday, last Thursday, we have a road art only auction that's going to take place at our corporate headquarters in Walworth, Wisconsin. And there are over 1,200 pieces that will be auctioned off over a couple of days. A total value of that collection is probably getting close to $10 million.
Wow, that is impressive. All right, so today is the last day. If people want to come out, what time do the doors open?
We opened up at 8 o'clock, and we have a great crowd already. We'll start the road art auction at about 9:30, and cars will start at about 10:30 today.
All right, and you guys are out at the Renaissance Schaumburg Convention Center. So people can come out. Tickets at the door, what does it cost to get in if people just want to bring the family and come out and see what it's all about?
Tickets at the door are $30. Children under 12 are free. And as I mentioned, if you wear anything Blackhawks, you get in half price. We even had a gentleman show up yesterday that told our ticket sellers that he was wearing Blackhawks underwear. And she asked him to pull it up on the side and show her, and he did, and by gosh, he was. So he saved $15 with his Blackhawks underwear.
That is funny. Dave Majors is the CEO of Mecum Auctions. What's the website, Dave, if people want to learn more about your company and what it is you guys do?
It's www.mecum.com. I tell you everything about all of our upcoming auctions, about our company, about road art, everything you need to know.
It was a lot of fun, and I am going to definitely come back, and I saw a lot of beautiful cars that are out for auction. I got to walk through what was going to be, what was detailed as the Saturday cars, which, the buildup of some of the most beautiful cars available are there. They are something to see. If you love this stuff, I got to tell you, it is eye candy for sure, and it's just some beautiful workmanship and a lot of fun. Thanks so much for joining us this morning. I really appreciate it.
Hey, you know, next time you come out, we're going to get you a bitter badge.
Deal. Done. Don't tell my wife.
All right.
All right. Thanks so much. That's Dave Major, CEO of Mecum Auctions. They're out there today, last day today, out at the Schaumburg Renaissance, the Renaissance Schaumburg Convention Center. I got to tell you, it's a little tricky to get out there because of all that construction on 90. So the Mecum exit, when you're heading west from the city, if you're coming, I think both ways is closed. So you got to get off a little early and kind of shoot over to Algonquin Road and then come across. Or on the west side, I guess it's probably Higgins over there that come across. You can come over the top of Mecum, but you can't get off of the expressway. So it's a little bit tricky to get over to that convention center, but it's beautiful, and it's really was a lot of fun. I really appreciate them having me out there yesterday. 8:49 in the morning, quick break, and we'll get to your calls right after this. 8:53 in the morning, Lou Manfredini here, the Mr. Fix Show. Marge is in Downers Grove. Hi, Marge. You're on WGN.
Hi, Lou. How are you, my hero?
I'm fantastic. How can I help you?
We just recently had our house sided with vinyl siding, and when they took it off, the old house, part of the wood house had like a big hole in it from where we had a leak that was fixed by Permaseal, wonderful people.
Okay.
But now, the gutter from the top of the house going into the garage has an elbow which faces in towards the house. Okay, and it's going right where this leak was years ago that they fixed.
Okay.
So I'm looking at our neighbor's house. They have one that just goes straight down. And I'm trying to tell my husband, who doesn't always listen to what I think, that the elbow should turn the other way, going down towards the side of the garage rather than in towards the house.
Okay, wait. So there's a gutter. Is it one roof higher than another roof?
Yes. Yes, and so, the downspout is going into the gutter, and the elbow from the downspout is going in towards the house.
It's just a little like a downspout elbow that rests on the lower roof.
Right, towards the house instead of going the other way.
And if you spun it 180 degrees, it would still be on top of that roof, but it would be directing the water away from the wall above it.
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't know why it's turned. It shouldn't be turned that way.
Okay. So would you suggest that it goes straight down like what our neighbor has? Or just
well, okay. I mean, I'm trying to picture this in my mind so that I can give you the right advice. If I spin that elbow 180 degrees, it will still be resting on the roof. And then if you can take a line that from that downspout, that little elbow, to where the water would go, a straight line, where would it go?
Well, if you spun it around, it should go out towards onto the garage gutter.
So it'll drain the water down onto that lower roof, onto the gutter.
Garage.
Of the garage.
And then there's a downspout on the other end of it because the garage attached to the house.
Right, and then that will take the water. Away from
the house.
Away from the house. I mean, it seems it seems perfectly reasonable to me that that's what you would do. And all it's going to take is someone going up there. I mean, I don't necessarily know that it's your husband, but you spin that thing.
Exactly.
Well, but I mean, it could be riveted or screwed in place, and so you need to spin it around so that that the water comes down, you know, onto that roof. And I just don't like it banging up against, if there's a wall right there with flashing, you know, you run the risk of it leaking. Do me a favor, hang on one second. I know you've been hanging on for a while. Let's get you an ABT. We'll get you an ABT gift card. Pleasing people since 1936. Visit their store in Glenview or online at ABT.com. 8:57 in the morning. Quick break, and we'll be back right after this. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Keith is in Homer Glen. Keith, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Hey, Lou. How's it going?
Good, man.
I got a question here. We did a shower, and we used a styrofoam shower pan, and then put a drain in, a new drain, tiled it, and then started using the shower, and now it's leaking. It's in the condo, so I got to go underneath and open up the ceiling and look at it, and it looks like the water's coming in behind the drain that's sitting on the styrofoam. So I'm wondering.
Styrofoam.
Well, it was the Schluter, you know, Schluter. It's a Schluter system.
Okay.
You know, they got the pans, the shower pans. It's like hard styrofoam shower pan. Then you wrap it with the Schluter system.
Right.
Mortar it, put the Schluter down. So we did all that, and we put the Schluter drain in because there's a drain for it. We put that drain in, hooked it up to our new plumbing, and, you know, tiled it, and now it's coming in behind that drain.
You've got a plastic pipe. Yep. Your drain pipe is what, a 2-inch or an inch and a half drain pipe around that Schluter system. So it's a 2-inch drain, and that now the Schluter system, is that a sleeve, like a rubber sleeve that you put the pipe through?
No, the pipe doesn't go through the Schluter at all. The Schluter is just on the ground and on the walls.
Right, but the drain assembly that you put through this pan, what is that? What did you install there?
We put the drain that came with the Schluter system, and it's PVC with a P-trap, and it shoots into the old existing plumbing, which was PVC as well.
So that connection, their drain system is part of the pan. It's already done.
Yeah, they have a drain system that comes with it, and we just hooked up the plumbing to drain it out.
Right.
And so when you're coming in behind that drain.
Let me ask you this. When you set that pan, did you just set the pan? You said it's a condo. Is it a wood subfloor, a concrete subfloor? What is it?
It's wood. There's like three layers of flooring. It's wood.
Okay. And when you set that pan, did you set it directly down on top of that wood so it's nice and flat, or did you set it in something called a Structolite to give it a little support?
Well, we put down some whatever the Schluter system said. You know, you put some mortar down, and we put that down.
Okay, so it is supported underneath there.
There is something down there. Yes.
Okay. And did you happen to test all this drain? Did you test this drain system before you tiled it?
I tested it. Yes, we did. We poured gallons of water down, buckets, gallons of water down, and nothing. Everything was fine. And then he went to take his first shower, and that was it. It started leaking.
Okay. Well,
it's all grouted. Everything. There's nothing there. I sealed it.
Right.
I was wondering if you had any idea.
Okay, the floor, you tiled over the floor.
Yeah, the floor is tiled.
Yeah.
Pebble tiles.
So all I can think of, based on how you're describing this, is that there's some breach in the mechanical system as part of the existing pan that once he stood in there and whatever, it cracked, and you're getting some leaking through that drain. So you don't want to hear this, but you're going to have to cut out that tile around that drain to expose it.
Okay.
to see how to see how you can repair it. That's the only way. That's the only way you're going to know, especially if you're telling me when you're down below looking through the ceiling. Now you got to patch that ceiling.
Yeah, there's a drip. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. So here's the thing: when you break up that tile and you expose that drain system, hopefully you find that tile. The trick is you got to put volume of water down, and not just down the drain. What I would do is put a test plug in there so that it's sealed before you retile it, and fill it with water. So it's like an inch of water, and let it sit there and try to make it leak. And if it doesn't leak at that point, then you can go ahead and patch that tile in there. It's a bunch of malarkey. I get it, but you should be able to solve that problem. And then you'll know that it's sealed before you do it. This whole Schluter system, for those that don't know, it's the whole tiling system that's been used a lot in new construction now to kind of make the whole process of putting these tile pans in. But it, you know, things can go wrong in any system when as part of the installation, and these little drips like that, especially in a condo, is a bummer. I get it, but you should be able to fix it, no problem. Let's talk to Don, who's in Chicago. Hey, Don, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Hey, Lou, great show as always.
Thank you.
Usually able to sell the wife and all the projects you and I discuss. The one thing I'm not going to be able to do, how do I sell her on buying a classic car?
Oh.
I'm joking.
No, listen to me. I got to tell you, if you're at all, you like this kind of stuff,
don't go
because you'll get the shakes and all of a sudden you're going to want to go buy a bitter car. I was only there for an hour and I was there just so I could see it. So I knew I was going to talk to the CEO of the company. And I said I would have had six cars and I would have been divorced.
And I heard it was a great show, but
yeah, it's fun.
Anyway, what I'm calling you about is for our anniversary, I got the wife kind of updated our kitchen a little bit. Countertops, sink, faucet, and brand new handles from a company you guys deal with. And I'm very happy. Mm-hmm. This is the problem. When the company came out to put the countertop in, they hooked everything up. Everything looked good to me. I look in, the faucet looks great. I look in the corner, there's all my plumbing. I go, what's going on here? Oh, we don't do the plumbing. I'm like, what? Okay, that's one thing. It's a Friday, try to get a plumber on a weekend. I didn't have a sink for 2 days. No big deal.
Wait. So you had new, you put in a new countertop, not new cabinets.
Not new cabinets, just new handles, new countertops, sink, and a
faucet. What kind of countertop did you have?
The old one?
No, the new one.
The new one's quartz.
Okay, and when you put it in, when you signed the contract for everything, that wasn't discussed about hooking up the plumbing?
Hey, Lou, if you want to get locked up, I'm your guy. I don't know anything about this stuff. We did deal with a couple other companies, and they did all that, so I just assumed that this place did too.
Hold on.
100% their fault.
Hold on. I'm not putting any blame. You're calling me. I'm trying to understand what happened. First of all, you don't have to skirt around it. Who did you deal with on the project?
Like I said, I think they're good.
No. Who's the company?
Building Supply Outlet.
Okay, so you went out there. We don't have to. There's no secrecy here. We're gonna try and help you and figure out what's going on.
What I'm trying to tell you, Lou, is I'm not hating on it. This isn't really a bad phone call. I just need to get. We got a scratch in the countertop. That's what I need to get taken care of.
Okay.
I'm past the faucet for no week with a wife and two kids in the kitchen. You don't realize how much you need that. But that's
oh, my
fine.
Gosh. I totally hear you.
And nobody told us that when you do this new stuff, now the sink's too low. And like I said, I don't know anything about this, but now the drain's lined up. So I had a guy come out, you know, on a Monday finally, took care of everything.
Right.
Everything's good. Well, when the wife got home that Friday, she goes, well, it looks beautiful. There's a scratch here in the counter. I'm like, what? You know, I'm a guy. A little detail like that. I didn't notice it. I seen it. I said, oh, they must have bumped it on. It looks like somewhere it got bumped on like a brick or something. So like a little abrasion and a little scratch, like, I don't know, 3/4 of an inch or an inch long.
All right. Okay, where's the scratch? Where is it? By the sink?
On,
is it?
No, it's to the left of the sink, but it's on the main countertop because we did both. Yeah. So I called them up. They were nice. Yeah, we'll get them out there next week. Okay. They finally came out. No big deal. This other company. And like I said, everyone's nice. They get out this stuff. It's not going to come out. Well, I don't know. You know, I thought you could buff it out or something. They explained to me you can't buff out quartz because now it won't be shiny or whatever. Okay, great, don't want that. We could do one of two things. Put a new slab in. Well, I go, is it going to match the one I got? Oh, yeah, it should. Or we can give you some money off. Well, they don't want to pay for a plumber to come back out that I just spent a ton of money to have all this work done. So I want to know, I have no idea about this. What's fair to say if they want to knock some money off this?
Okay.
I don't know what's fair and what's fair. I'm not trying to be unfair. I just don't know.
I'm not asking you to tell me this because I don't know what you paid for the whole countertop thing, but I mean.
Lou, I did some bathroom stuff with this company, and again, right. I loved it. I spent probably over $2,000, so I know that's not $1 million to some people.
No. It's money. Absolutely. Now, so here's the thing I'm going to ask first. If you get money off of this thing, is your wife going to be able to live with the scratch?
I think she would be. Because I gave her the option. Because now she's afraid that now the other countertop won't match, and then who's going to pay for the plumbing?
Well, I mean that I think that from the matching of the slab, you probably will be okay. Okay.
All right.
So, can I ask you what you paid to have the plumber do the sink?
He did the sink and a couple other little things here. $400.
Okay, that's what that would be the number.
Yeah.
And because I'm just saying that you guys got to negotiate that. But the thing is that if you said, in other words, if your wife said to me or said to you, not me, if she says I don't want to live with the scratch, let's get a new slab in there, you know, then they come in and they match it. And because with the quartz, it's a manufactured product, so the consistency in the color, that's the benefit of the quartz over natural stone. If you told me it was a real granite, I would tell you that there's no way it's going to match because it's a natural stone. With quartz, they mix all the colors. It's like mixing paint at the hardware store. If you want this kind of blue, I'm going to be able to do it. Now, it's probably going to match, but if they do that slab, then you got to have the plumber come back, and it's going to cost you $400.
Yeah.
So, to me, and I'm not, you know, I'm sure, you know, the guys at Builder Supply Outlet are saying, Lou, you're killing me. But the thing is that issues happen with any kind of, anytime you have people in the home. And the way good companies work is they respond to it and they're fair. And I happen to know the guy that runs this place is a fair guy. So, you have to decide what it is you want. You know, in other words, if it's, you know what, I just redid this kitchen. I did it all. Quite honestly, if it were me, I wouldn't live with the scratch. I'd replace the slab.
Okay.
And then, you know, if they do that, then, you know, you got to get this sink redone. Now, it's costing them a heck of a lot more to replace that slab than $400.
Right.
Or you say, you know, I can live with the scratch. If I had to have the plumber come back, you know, it would be $400. And if you want to give me that off and not come back and do the slab, then we'll call it a day and that'll be it. So, I mean, it's just a question of, you know, when you do all this work and you spend all this money, you want it to look as nice as possible. And the other thing that I want everybody to know, and thank you very much for the phone call. I have sponsors. Okay. And I want to take care of the sponsors and I want to keep them happy. But my job one is to be your advocate. And so if stuff happens or you're not happy with that, you can call me and I will try to be the middleman to try and get it all done. Now, that being said, stuff happens. Problems occur. You scratch here or whatever. And so we got to get it all fixed and we got to be fair to everybody. And I want to be the liaison to be the guy on your side. And so hopefully this all gets rectified. You get the kitchen you want and happy and fair. And I want to be that trumpet for you, if that's what I can be. 9:24 in the morning. The Mr. Fix-It Show will be back right after this.
And we call it a phone, but we don't really use it much as a phone, do we? No, we don't.
Time for Just Text Me.
We don't have to talk. Oh, my God, I got to talk. Talking is work. You've got to make facial expressions. You got to suck air in. You got to blow it out.
Our Just Text Me segment, isn't it sponsored by iwantsmart.com? Right?
Yes, it is.
It is, right?
It is. Why? Why are you saying it like that?
I'm just making sure. Because the time is wrong. I don't know why it says 9:44. What's going on?
What's up?
Hi, everybody.
Yes.
Hey, by the way, a couple quick things before we do. Just text me. You know, we have a Ace Hardware out in Villa Park. And this is not really about the Villa Park, but it's about the Ace. But it's about a blood drive that's going on, because this is something we always need to take care of. If you can donate blood on October 15th, when we'll be out of Fox Home Center between 10 and 4 p.m. and on our Breast Cancer Awareness Month, we're going to have a blood drive out there at the VP Ace. And appointments are welcome, but recommended, rather. Walk-ins are welcome. You're going to get a $10 Ace gift card, a VP Ace gift card, when you come out. Just go to the Facebook page for Villa Park Ace. Joe Madden is raffling off a awesome Jeep Wrangler that was customized by the Fields Auto Group that is worth about 70 grand, and it is just sweet, lifted, huge tires. You know, it benefits his Respect 90 Foundation, Misericordia, and Cubs Charities. Raffle tickets are $100 each, being sold either at Wrigley Field, if you're going to the game tonight. You can go to participating Chicago-only Binney's Beverage Depots. They're selling it. You can buy tickets at Misericordia, and you can also get them at Edgebrook Ace Hardware. Only 3,000 tickets will be sold, and at the end of the season, Joe Madden will pick the raffle, and you could win this sweet Jeep. And also, Hamlin Park is having their annual boxing show on the 13th of October at 7 p.m., free admission. It's sponsored by Cobblestone Development, by the Secretary of State, Jesse White, La Scarola, Riverview Car Wash. And it's a great way to get kids off the street and focused on doing something positive. It's really a wonderful event, very well attended. And if you're at all interested in amateur boxing, you got to come out and take a look at it. It's really fun. It's at Hamlin Park on the 13th of October. Time for Just Text Me.
You're sponsored very busy.
Sponsored by iWantSmart.com.
That's correct.
All right.
All right. Let's see. We've got lots of texts this morning. Mm-hmm. 815, is there anything that can get cat odor out of carpets?
Oh, that's tough. The problem with the cat odor, I'm assuming it's a urine odor, is that it probably went down to the pad as well. You know, Freshwave is a awesome product, and you can buy the spray. You probably need to really soak it so that it gets down in there. I would actually tell you to do this. Instead of buying the Freshwave spray, buy the Freshwave laundry additive, okay? And it comes in a larger bottle. It's kind of a milky white-looking thing. And over that area where the urine issue is there, douse it. I mean, get it nice and wet. And then just let it soak in and naturally dry. Mm. And I bet if you try that within a couple days, it should do the trick.
Yummy. 630, can I treat bed bugs with anything over the counter? Exterminators are so expensive. Help.
Well, yeah, you can. There's a ton of products out there, but it isn't just about the products. It's about what you have to do to protect it. Bed bugs are very difficult to eradicate inside a home. So what you have to do is take anything and everything that is a soft material where they can hide in out of the room. But what you need to do is take plastic bags, put everything in the plastic bags, and seal it before you walk out of the room, because you don't want to contaminate the rest of the home. Then you're going to vacuum really well. You're going to take all the sheets off. You're going to expose the mattresses. There are sprays that you can apply from the hardware store to the mattress. Then once you spray, you got to wrap both the box spring and the mattress in a mattress, a sealed mattress boot, essentially. What was the name? What was it last year? What was the name of... Protect-A-Bed is the product. And there's a couple different manufacturers too, but it's essentially a giant zippered pillowcase for your mattress. And you're going to put that in there, and you're going to zipper it all up so that the bed bugs can't get out. You know, because even though you're going to vacuum like crazy, there might be one hiding in there. I know it's gross, but you're going to seal it up. You're going to do all that vacuuming. You're going to take all that laundry, and you're going to wash it in hot water and dry it in a hot dryer twice, and then bring it all back in there. It is a hard problem to get rid of, but if you do that and you're diligent about cleaning and spraying and treating, especially around the baseboards and stuff where they can hang out in the walls near the bed, you'll get a handle on it. And even when you do that, you'll still freak out and think they're still there, but just stay on it and you'll solve the problem. So it's a big job.
Hi, yay, yay. Yeah. 630, Lou, is it too late to seal my blacktop driveway?
No, it's the perfect time. This cooler weather is actually the best time to seal the driveway. And what I would tell you is the trick to getting it to last the longest is to take a mild cleaner, like a Simple Green or something you can, even Pine Sol if you wanted to. Put it in a bucket and take a deck brush or even a broom. Start brooming off and get rid of all the dirt from the existing blacktop driveway and then rinse it. Let it dry, and then on these cool fall days where the sun is lower, it is actually the best time to do your blacktop sealing.
And lastly, 847, any ideas how I can dispose of a bottle of muriatic acid?
Well, most villages and municipalities and cities have a hazardous material pickup at certain times of the year, and or have areas where you can bring those hazardous materials to that. So I would check with your where you live, find out if they offer hazardous collection where they can dispose of it properly and take it there. A lot of you know, hardware stores and the home centers will do things like recycle paint. There's a fee for that, but most of them don't do muriatic acid. That's a more of a specialty item. So I would contact your village or city to see if they have a program.
And that's this week's Just Text Me, sponsored by
IWantSmart.com.
IWantSmart.com.
Very nice. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Lou Manfredini here with you. What do you want to do? You want to take a call?
Sure, let's take Debbie.
Let's take Debbie. Debbie is in Wilmette. Hi, Debbie. You're on WGN.
Nice to for you to take my call. Thanks so much.
Sure. How can I help you?
So we have, not currently, but we had an area of wet in the middle of our basement, but it's like the middle of the basement. Everything around was dry. The sump pump area was dry. The bathroom was dry, you know, but there was this wet carpeting in the middle. We've been running the dehumidifier, but so do we have to, like, pull up the carpet? I mean, how do you figure out why there's water in the middle of the bathroom or the middle of the room?
This is a finished basement.
Well, it's, yeah, a carpeted finished basement.
Okay, and it's almost dead center in this place?
Yes.
Do we think there's a covered drain?
No, there is a drain further away from it that that never gets water. And then when
the drain that's further away, is that also under the carpeting, or that's exposed?
That's exposed. There was when we remodeled the house, there was a laundry area, and so they put in a new drain in the where the machines were moved to.
Correct.
The machines were moved, and the water, when we do get water, it like neatly bypasses the drain. It has never, you know, so that drain is completely dry, and I don't think there's a drain.
But when you mentioned the laundry room that got moved, was the laundry room where this center water area is now?
It's away from it, but it would be downhill from it.
Okay. Okay, my guess, this
Let
is just
know
my
if
guess.
You can still hear me. I'm going down the basement.
I can hear you. Yes, I can hear you as you go down to the basement. If there, yes, you need to pull the carpeting and find out what's going on. Now, it could just be groundwater, and that is a low part where it's collecting, or it could be when they move that drain, maybe it was a pipe that they abandoned and just covered with concrete. And when you get water, it backs up in there, and that's why you get there. That is a, you know, it's a mildew and mold issue that I would not keep unaddressed, meaning that I wouldn't just let it go. If it's wall-to-wall carpeting, I mean, you can certainly pull that up to expose what's going on and see if, in fact, you notice a drain or something that's there that that needs to be addressed.
There is. Now I'm down here. There is a drain here. It, you know what? It's yuck. It's covered with a...
There's a drain under the carpeting?
There's a drain in the middle of it, you know, just off. Where there's a sump pump,
right,
and then away from the sump pump area is dry. This carpeted area is dry, and then there's a drain that looks like it has like a pressure plug, maybe, but it's like not even tightly plugged in. But that's not where the water is. It's maybe 2-3 feet away from, maybe a foot away from there.
Okay, so imagine where that test plug is. If that drain, if that piping that's underneath the concrete, if the water level goes up when you get, and you say this only happens when it rains, correct?
And not even every time. This happened twice in the 20 years that we've lived here.
But my guess is there's a drain pipe that runs underneath that area, and there might be a crack in that pipe. Now you've got that test plug in there. That test plug actually keeps the water from backing up through the drain. But now that pipe fills up with water, and so now there might be a crack there, and that's the low spot where you're seeing that. Now, if you took that test plug out, you'd probably get water up through that drain, which would be problematic. So I think what you need to do is for sure take the carpeting up, because I'm worried that there's mildew and mold down there that you need to address. And with this drain, if it's not doing anything, then maybe when you peel all that back where that area of the dry is, that concrete gets broken up, you seal that pipe properly so that water doesn't back up in there, and then you're assured that there's a problem, that you've solved the problem, and it doesn't become a reoccurring issue time and time again. Thanks so much for the phone call. It's 9:48 in the morning. We'll take a quick break.
Happy trails to you.
9:52 in the morning, time for Lou's Last Call, sponsored by Poundstone Financial. Our last caller is Jim in Northbrook. Hey, Jim.
Good morning, Lou.
Morning.
My question is this. We're in a split-level home, and every winter we get ice damming. Where we get the ice damming is where the first-story roof meets the second-story wall. And regardless of how much we shovel the roof, ice damming gets built up, water comes in, and we're tired of it. So we're going to replace the roof. I wanted to find out from you what we should make sure we do when we replace the roof so that no more water comes in the house.
Okay. Now, the first, I'm trying to picture the home. So when I'm looking at the front of your house, I have a kind of corner-to-corner first floor roof that's like over the kitchen and the dining room, maybe.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So
then it goes back to the second floor, so you have a little bit of a wall and siding that extends up, and that's your upper level.
That's exactly right. And that single story is a cathedral ceiling over the kitchen, living room. So not much ventilation, not much insulation.
Okay, in that cathedral ceiling, do you have ceiling fans?
We don't have ceiling fans. We do have can lights in the ceiling. The ice damming happened before we put them in, but we do have electrical up there.
All right. One of the things that – two things. Those can lights, I want you to consider changing to LED can light trims. Okay?
Okay.
What they are is, it is not just an LED light bulb, but you can buy an actual trim that has, it has a finished trim around it, and then it has a lens, and the LED diode is behind it. That's going to do. It's going to provide you with nice light that you probably have to change the dimmer if you put the stuff on a dimmer, but it's going to seal the air, the hot air, from getting up into that cathedral that's helping to cause your ice dams.
Okay, and we did have the ice damming problem before we put the can lights in as
Understood, but this is only helping it. And the other thing is that LED light, when it's on, when you have it on, isn't creating as much heat as traditional can lights. So that's one thing. Second thing, I would really consider putting in a ceiling fan in there, because if you can move some air up there, because that cathedral ceiling, it's 10 degrees hotter up there.
Sure.
And you only have so much insulation to be able to solve this problem. Now, that's what we do on the inside. Now, with the new roof that you're going to put on, we got to pull that siding from that upper level, at least two or three courses of the siding. How new is that siding?
We've been in the house for 17 years. The roof is older than that. The siding is older than that.
Okay. So this may be a little bit more involved, but I need that siding to be removed. And when they come in to do the flashing prior to the roof goes down, they're going to take ice and water shield, which is a rubber sticky membrane, and they're going to cover that entire roof on that lower level with this. And they're going to come up along the siding, and they're going to come up like a good 2 feet and create this impermeable damming that's going to come across there. Then they're going to come in and put the step flashing in as well next to where the siding is, and they're going to bring the siding back down there. If you do all that and you still get snow buildup there, there should be no way that that water's coming into your home.
Great. And so on the ice and water shield, we've gotten a couple proposals on this. They've proposed coming up 6 feet from the gutter. Should I talk to them about doing that entire first story?
If it were me, and this has been a reoccurring problem for 17 years, I'd cover the entire house with ice and water. That entire Great. Lower roof, it's look, this is minimal expense for him. You know, the ice and water shield is not that expensive. And, you know, so there's a little bit more labor, but we're talking, you know, a couple $100 more, maybe $300 more to do all this. But then I want that wrapped up on that wall. So the siding has to come off well, so they can do all that to then put the step flashing in, finish it off. And then you got to do a little bit of siding. But that way you do all that. There should be no way that water's coming in.
Great. And is there anything different we should do with the ventilation on the soffits or insulation on that part of the roof?
Well, the problem is you have a cathedral ceiling, so I don't know what kind of insulation you have in there. So it isn't that you're going to add any more insulation there to get anything. It's just it's a finite thing. Other than taking the ceiling down and doing all that, it's not going to benefit there. The venting doesn't matter. It should be filled. Change those lights. Get a ceiling fan in there. Do what I talked about with the ice and water shield, and it should work out. Jim, thanks so much for the phone call. We'll be right back. Hello, ladies. Judy and Amy here this morning for the Kathy and Judy experience.
I prefer to call it the Amy and Judy show, as I am always Tonto and happy to be Tonto.
You know what? I've always been a fan of Tonto.
Have you? Do you think he was misunderstood?
I think so. I really do. I think he was really the brains behind the whole thing.
Oh, yeah.
He might have been.
Definitely.
I mean,
absolutely.
The other guy was half blind. He wore a mask all the time.
Right. Or he had he always had that bad sunburn. He had the raccoon eyes.
Right.
What do you ladies have coming up this morning?
Well, we're starting off with Trump.
Oh, really? Geez, so surprising.
You know what? We have not talked on this show politics. We have really stayed away from it. We're going to make it a safe place for people to talk, and no boxing gloves are on here, and it's too
hot. Why do I think the text lines are just really going to be heated?
That'll be great.
Yeah, it'll be great.
We will.
Good luck.
Okay. Thanks, Lou.